Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
You know, Dan, amongst the many unusual guests we've had on this program, we're really pleased today to have Gail Getzweiler on the program. She and her husband, Steve, operate, I hope I pronounce it correctly, Nizoni Shop, which features Native American, but especially Navajo art items. She's here today to talk about running such a specialized shop and what she's learned. First off, Gail, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I guess my first question would be, how did you come to start this shop? Where is it located? And what are some of the things you've learned?
Well, we're located in a small ranching community in southern Arizona. We're a little bit east and south of Tucson. And we've actually been in the business for over 40 years. We used to wholesale to the major Indian art galleries around the country. And when we things evolved with the business, and we finally decided to direct market. And when we did that, we bought a ranch house in Sonoyta and converted it to a gallery. So it's like shopping in your home, so to speak. One of the reasons we started our business was my husband, he grew up near the Amerind Foundation, which is a museum in southern Arizona that was built by the Fultons of the Fulton Steam Engine wealth. And the director of that museum let Steve have the run of the halls of Native American art because his mother was a good friend of theirs, and they had a son the same age, and so that's where he got his inspiration. And then he studied archaeology in college, like Dr. DePeso, who ran the Amerind Foundation. And then after 2 years, he decided he wanted to live the life of, working with Native Americans, and so he quit school and started working with the Navajos and other indigenous tribes in Arizona and New Mexico. And then we fell in love with Navajo rugs. And we couldn't really afford to keep them because at that early time. And what we did is we had to start buying and selling the Navajo rugs in order to collect the ones that we wanted, and that evolved into the business of the gallery.
So if you've been at it for 40 years, you obviously had some success at it. What do you attribute one or two of the success points to your effort?
Well, I think grit might be one of the things we do everything. My husband and I were the only ones running the business for many, many, many years, and it wasn't until like the last 5 years that we actually had to hire some help. But one of the successes is we have such individualized care with the clients that we have. We talk to and get to know sometimes very well. Some of our clients become good friends, and other clients we have a personal touch with everything that we sell in the gallery. And then, of course, there's the side where Steve would drive to the reservation once or twice a month in the very beginning. And when he would go to the reservation to purchase rugs, they were all dirt roads. There were no hotels, hardly any restaurants. So it was, driving up in an old Suburban with a cooler full of food and drinking your own water and then sleeping in the back of the truck. but over the years, that's changed. Now they have paved roads. Now we have cell phones. Where before, he would have to find a pay phone, which there were not very many on the reservation. So it was very challenging in the beginning, and now it's a pretty smooth running operation with cell phones, and we still send money order deposits to weavers, but it's been a challenge in, you know, building a business, which because we were just kids when we started, basically in our 20s, and we just learned by our bootstraps to do the bookkeeping, how to figure out taxes, how to not give everything we earn to the government, and how to pay our weavers well and give our clients a good experience and a good value for what they buy from us.
Well, I'm going to ask one more question and turn it over to Dan. It's going to go way off the track. But 5 years ago, you hired your first people. How did that change the interactions of your company?
Well, you know, it didn't really change much because now when people call, sometimes I'll answer the phone and Robin is, you know, one of our my main employees, and they'll call and they'll say, well, is Robin there? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we still have a personal touch, and it's, you know, and some clients like to talk to me, some clients like to talk to Robin or Steve. So it's still personalized. It's not much has changed.
Dan, I turn it over to you.
Thank you. Gail, do you or Steve have any Indian blood?
You know, I don't think either one of us do. Mostly European.
Okay. When you started your business, following what Don was talking about, you talked about all the challenges, and you said in your discussion with Don that you started out wholesaling, selling your goods to galleries all over the country. And then you made a decision to go to open your own gallery. Why did you make that switch? If you were building a business, were you building a nice business, working with other galleries, establishing a reputation? And if so, why did you decide to abandon that for a new business model?
Well, it really wasn't a difficult choice for us because a lot of the galleries we were working with at that time, and this was like around the year 2000, getting towards the end of, you know, the 1990s when the economy had gone through some turmoil. And a lot of the galleries we worked with were closing their doors. And so it was sort of a natural turn for us to, because we have so many of the Navajo weavers that we support in our business that we couldn't close our doors. So we decided to go ahead and direct market.
So do you use the internet at all to market?
Yes, we do. Yes. And if we didn't have the internet, I don't think it would be anywhere near as successful because we are in such a remote location and we can sell around the world and not everybody has to come into the gallery.
All right. So what percentage of your business is done over the internet?
I would say it's probably over 50%.
Wow. And how long have you been using the internet as e-commerce?
We've been on the internet. I got our domain name in 1996, I believe. So we had it before we even started, before we opened the physical gallery. We were doing a little bit of marketing on the internet.
So is it fair to say that a lot of the growth that you experienced over the last 5 or 10 years has come from your expanding internet sales?
I think we could attribute a lot of it to that, yes.
Okay. When you talked about you've been doing this for about 40 years, is that did I hear that correctly?
That's correct. Maybe a little more, but around 40, yeah.
Okay. So as an entrepreneur, as a business person, that you and your husband started this business 40-some years ago, so that means you're not in your 30s anymore.
That's correct, sir.
Do you have a succession plan?
I am working on it. I'm working on it. I hope that we can have the gallery passed on to new owners, and that the weavers can continue to be supported. And so we're trying to get everything packaged up nice and neat so that it could continue on.
Do you have children?
I have two children.
They're not going to be.
They both have their own careers. So
okay.
They're not going to be taking it over.
So let's just assume that they're not listening. Is that a disappointment to you? Is that a disappointment that they're not interested in the business?
Well, they have helped out quite a bit. My daughter has helped a lot with the website. And my son, he's helped me. We're putting together actually a foundation so that we can, people that want to support the Navajo and their weaving art that they can make contributions to. So they're helping out in smaller ways. But as far as taking over the business, I can't say I'm disappointed. They both have great careers. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're talking about setting up a foundation, have you considered the possibility of transferring the gallery and the business to the foundation and let the foundation run it?
Well, I that's a great idea. I'll have to think about that. We're just we're just meeting with attorneys. The foundation was just incorporated. So we're in those beginning stages. So it will depend on who I can get involved with the foundation to see if that would be possible.
Well, what about you primarily deal with the Navajo tribe?
Yes, we do.
And maybe there are some people in the Navajo tribe who might be interested in serving as directors on the foundation, and maybe they can find somebody who would be willing to run the gallery for the foundation. I mean, it's just something to think about.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thank you. Do you find as you've gotten older, you obviously said you had to hire somebody. Do you have some part-time employees too?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that you're somewhat disengaging to some degree with the business because the employees, as you pointed out it with Don, some people call for now this other woman as opposed to you because she's built relationships with them. Do you expect? I mean, if you could look out over the next 5 years. And then when you answer this question, I'll give it back to Don. When you look out over the next 5 years, where do you see this enterprise going?
It's really a hard thing to see it be anything else other than what it has been, for the last 20 years anyway, where we're accessible to anybody by phone or internet, and they can purchase, and I can send things to, I send things to every country in the world past practically, and if they get it, they like it, they keep it. If they don't, they send it back. They know they can get 100% of their money back or exchange it, which rarely ever happens. I think maybe that's happened on one instance where someone actually returns something. Usually when they receive a Navajo rug, it's so much better in person that every sale is pretty much final when the piece goes out.
Yeah, and I'm just to make sure I understand, because I wasn't. Is it primarily the rugs that you sell, as opposed to a lot of? We talked a little bit about pottery before we went on the show. Mm-hmm. What other kind of items do you have to sell?
Well, we do have some pottery. We have represent a Zia Pueblo potter by the name of Ruby Panana. And then we have some other pottery like Zia and Zuni. But it's not a main staple of ours, but we do have some pieces. We do have some jewelry. We do have some basketry. So those are, you know, some of the areas that we kind of dabble in different areas. I mean, if there's something that is particularly wonderful, we like to, you know, purchase it and put it in the gallery for sale, even if it's not a Navajo rug.
Okay. Don, back to you.
The question, when we announced that you were coming on our program, someone wrote and said, specialty shops like yours are becoming rarer and rarer. And you said earlier to Dan that the internet has helped you. But what advice would you give someone who plans to open or has opened a specialty shop dealing with things like Eskimo art, et cetera? What have you learned that you think other people should know?
Well, when we first started our business, one of the things, it took us many years before we actually made a profit. we had to borrow money, and it took us a long time to actually make a profit. And I know the first year we actually made some money. We actually had $60,000 in the bank. And then we went to pay our taxes, and we had to pay every penny to the government because we didn't know anything about bookkeeping. So one thing I would say is find yourself a good accountant who wants to take care of you, and find yourself a good attorney. And not somebody who's going to charge you a lot of money, but somebody who can give you good advice, number one. And let's see, I mean, some business background would be good. We had to kind of learn that as we went, as far as how to do bookkeeping. Marketing is important. And now you need to have technical help with computers. You need to have people to set up your websites. There's just, I imagine a lot of people would have this kind of, these tools if they have some kind of a business degree. So when we started, we didn't, but that was a long time ago, in the 70s.
So you learn by experience.
Learn by experience and working with clients in, you know, the most intimate and friendly manner that you can. Everybody, when they say the customer is always right, that's a good motto. And everybody likes to have, likes to be attended to and respected, and with your clients and your sources for your materials. Everybody, treat everybody well.
Well, another question that came to mind, again, going back, as it happens, I was talking to somebody who has a store that specializes in Alaskan Inuit,
right?
And she was saying that you really have to learn the differences between real and imitation, and old and newly minted material. How did you get your experience and Steve's experience doing this?
Yes, Steve is the one who is the most experienced in the material. We've both done extensive research, and he has all of his life. He's done extensive research. He's written just about every periodical there is that has to do with Native American and Navajo art. And he knows the history. We have probably more historic Navajo rugs for sale than we do contemporary. because over time, you know, many, many years, there are just many more older pieces available. And it, there are different time periods. He can recognize the wool to date it. He can sometimes even recognize a weaver that maybe made two rugs that were the same. And historically, not very many people can do that because there is no documentation of who made what. And so he can just tell by the way they wove it or the patterns they're using that, yes, this woman made these three rugs, and not anybody can do that. He's probably the only person living that can even do that. But yes, just lots of research and handling the material. And it is difficult for as somebody who is a novice and somebody wants to sell them a rug, they really just need to have a reliable source, you know, when they're buying something, because that is a problem with someone trying to make a fake Navajo rug.
Well, so in other words, if someone buys from your store and you say it's an authentic whatever it is, they can feel pretty confident that that's the case. Am I hearing you correctly?
That's true, yes. We get certificates of authenticity with all of the weavings that we sell. And then, you know, all of the other material as well is hallmarked. We it's all purchased, you know, directly from either the artist or, you know, from the reservation that they're living on.
Dan, I go back to you.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, because we've got about 3 minutes or so, I wanted to ask the question of, you said earlier when you were talking to me that you ship your merchandise all over the world. How do you acquire new customers?
You know, most of our customers are coming from the internet. And we do some print advertising. We do have articles that are published. And we get a small percentage of our clients from that area too.
So so you do print advertising in periodicals or on
yes.
You run advertisements on the internet?
We do advertisements in print, and we on the internet there I do have somebody who does, you know, the gram. Those kinds of things, which I can't really connect those with any sales as of yet. But a lot of people, you know, if they do a search, they find us on a web search.
Okay. What do you think about the general desire, since you're a global business? What do you think about it? Are the growth prospects for your product globally going forward?
I think they're probably more promising going forward just because of the ability to reach those people. But I have to admit, our major sales are in the United States. So there's a lot of people that, like Minnesota, Canada, California, Florida. I mean, there's pretty much our main market is the United States.
Is a big part of your market in Arizona?
Yes, we have a big market in Arizona, and we have a lot of winter visitors that come, and so they may find us on the internet, and then they come and see us when they're here.
I was just going to ask you that. What is your in-store traffic like? Has it continued to grow?
It's pretty brisk. You know, we'll have people here several times a week, which is pretty good for us.
And do you have a problem with getting enough inventory?
No problem at all. Lots of inventory.
Given how long does it take for a weaver to weave one of your rugs?
Contemporary rugs are definitely of the smaller part of our inventory. Sometimes some pieces that are very large will take sometimes a couple of years to make, or very detailed, and then there's other pieces that will take about a month or two. So it varies.
So you use the word contemporary, Would the opposite be traditional? Would that be an appropriate word?
Historic places that have been made, you know, in the last 100 years.
So when you're dealing with historic, you don't have, are there new weavers today that are weaving historic patterns, or the historic is finding the old rugs?
Well, we have the historic pieces, and then we commission, we have a special collection called the Navajo Churro Collection, and we actually provide the wool to the weavers. We have it custom spun and hand-dyed, and we commission some of the historic patterns, and then they will do a contemporary piece, you know, using that as an inspiration.
Yeah. And in a more contemporary rug, what can they cost to buy?
Contemporary rugs can cost anywhere from, you know, just a couple $100 up to $65,000.
Wow.
For the larger major pieces, yes.
And those might take years to weave?
Right. We have some pieces that you know, may take even 3 years, I think was the longest time for one of the pieces that we have.
Wow. Thank you so much for
being
with us.
Gail, tell us your website.
Our website is NavajoRug.com. And yes, I appreciate you having us on, and hopefully more people will find us.
Well, before you go, Gail, spell out your website, because this is radio, and we want to make sure our listeners know.
Okay, it's N-A-V as in Victor, AJORUG.com.
Well, Gail, we thank you so much for being with us. Well, we've been talking with Gail Getzweiler. She and her husband together own a fascinating, I think fascinating, shop. It's called Nezoni Ranch Gallery, and it features Native American art. A link to her website will be on www.recalculating.biz tonight. It's on that show, on that site, you can hear every one of our shows. So please, come and join us. But Gail, thank you again for coming.
Thank you very much.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Many small business leaders in our audience also have family responsibilities, and sometimes they neglect their own health. Joey Tricelli, co-founder of Hello Alvin, is here to discuss how telehealth services can help both men and women take care of both themselves and their families. Joey, this is a topic I think a lot of people want to talk about, so welcome to the program. Joey, tell us a little bit about yourself and about what Hello Alvin is all about.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Don. I personally, I've been in healthcare in some form or fashion since the early 90s, and we actually started a company that did healthcare claims transactions, electronic data interchange, for doctors and hospitals, as well as insurance companies. We used to send the paper claims electronically. We converted those over into to an EDI platform so that the doctors would get paid faster and the claims were much more accurate and that sort of thing. So I've been in the industry, you know, that was a 16-year startup for me. And now United Healthcare has that company. We sold that off to them. And then, of course, I got into we had some fun. We did camps for kids that were a little less fortunate. Some of these kids had, leukemia, cancer, and cancer kids that lost a parent in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we saw a need for a lot of families that did not have access to health care and affordable health care in this country. And it was really kind of sad. So we started going back to our roots of connecting doctors and also developing programs that would actually provide access to these types of families at an affordable price. And that's when Hello Alvin, my partner Arif Rajvi, and I came up with the idea that let's come up with a friendly company that actually gives people an affordable way to talk to a doctor from anywhere 24/7. And so Alvin actually means your noble friend and loved by all. That's why we came up with Alvin, and got a little tired of the sterility of the healthcare industry, and you know, which is a scary thing for many people. Nobody likes to say they enjoy going to the doctor and the shots and the needles and that sort of thing. So we wanted to come up on as a friendly company, be a friend to those that do need access to healthcare and currently don't, which by the way, is about 30 million people in this country today that don't have access to health care.
Dan, I'm going to turn it right over to you.
So let me react real quick to your last statement. There might be 30 million people who don't have health insurance, but they're not locked out of health care.
Well,
they can't be turned away from a hospital.
That's a good point. Well, that's a really good point. And let me just say, you know, that the 30 million uninsured and the challenges that they have are so frustrating in many cases that they just avoid care. So, but to your point, you can go, if you can afford, you know, you can go to the emergency room, of course, and
right.
or an urgent care sort of thing if you can afford to. And
mm-hmm.
and many of those uninsured Americans, unfortunately, Dan, are unable to afford, you know, that kind of a visit. So the problem we have is they avoid care and don't get any care, and therein lies the healthcare problem, part of it.
When we started
with
Obamacare, we were told there were 47 million uninsured Americans. And now you're telling us there, after 8 years, there's still 30 million uninsured Americans.
There's 70 million people that are underinsured in this country now, which, you know, unfortunately, what we mean by underinsured is there's a, you know, people opted for a high deductible plan because the premiums were so high. So the deductible on an individual plan are sometimes, you know, $2,500 to $6,000, $12,000 for a family, you know, with a high premium.
Conversation with my fourth son. And his health insurance premium at work doubled, and his coverage is for himself and his wife and his 2-year-old son. The annual premium went from $3,000 to $9,000, and his deductible, his out of pocket expense went to $14,000. So he's never going to be able
right.
to use the never going to be able to not never but. Highly unlikely that he'll ever be able to use the insurance. But let's move on to what you do. What does
sure.
Hello Alvin do to alleviate this problem?
Well, we started from kind of the beginning of, you know, the grassroots of healthcare, You know, again, you know, 64% of Americans avoided needed care because of cost. So we decided that let's put a product together and bundle services that people could use anywhere at an affordable price for an acute minor illness, such as a sore throat, or, you know, let's keep the sore throats out of the emergency rooms and the urgent cares. When you know, the average cost for a, let's say an urgent care visit, $160 nationwide. I mean, if you go to an ER and you have a sore throat or a rash, or, you know, the average cost nationwide is about $1,230, which a lot of people don't realize. So what we've done is we created a relationship with a company called Teladoc. Many people have heard of those and those folks. They are nationwide. We also have a 24-hour nurse line that we bundled into the service that is free with a annual subscription for the entire family. And we have an email a provider, a specialist service that is free with a subscriber for each subscriber and their entire family, where you can actually email a doctor, you can email a dentist, a psychiatrist, a fitness pro, you can email a dietitian. And, you know, rather than self-diagnosing on Google, which many people do, and then within 10 minutes they're on the floor. I know, excuse me, I've been accused of that a few times myself from my wife. And, you know, you feel something in your throat, or, and you think you're dying, you know. So we're trying to get consumers and Americans that are interested in maybe healthcare for themselves to actually talk to professionals. And you can do that even through email with our system. But with our Teladoc relationship, you can actually you can have a live visit or live chat, if you will, with a doctor within 10 minutes of requesting that visit on any mobile device, computer or tablet, that sort of thing. So we've bundled this service, and it's only $100 per year per family to actually be a part of our system. And the only additional cost would be a $45 visit, a doctor's visit fee that we charge when they go live with the doctor. And like I said, the average callback time is about 10 minutes. So we also have a monthly plan.
So you pay $100 a year, and then if you want to talk to a doctor online, real time, it's $45 for the visit, regardless of how long it takes.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And we have another option.
Every member of the household is a $45 if you want to talk to the doctor.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. And yeah, what about the other medical professionals? Are there charges for them too?
No charge for the emails and no charge for the nurse line. No additional fees.
So then you talk to a nurse, is it done on email, or can you do it live?
The email system, of course, is just that. It's an email service that is provided to the doctors. And the nurse line is live. So you would get a number on your screen. And after you enroll, if you do want to talk to a nurse, you could be talking to a nurse right away. So at no additional fee. And we do have a $20 a month plan as well, Dan and Don. We, you know, for those that have larger families, and there's only a $15 live consult or live visit with a doctor fee. And that's like, how can you talk to a doctor for $15 and a $20 a month, 24/7? I mean, we have over 3,000 board certified physicians nationwide that are available. You know, we have doctors available 24/7, and they can give you a script.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about that business model.
Sure.
How can a doctor afford to do that call?
Well, it's really based on how we have set the arrangement up with our partners. And the doctors are certainly taken care of for each one of their visits. And a lot of it, the actuaries get involved, Dan, you know, and they can figure out based on the numbers how many folks are going to use the system, how many 32-year-old males and how many 50-year-old females. You know, they know the numbers well enough as far as utilization goes that we can come up with different cost And utilization, we also know what the utilization will be. So there's a fine game of mathematical genius and equations back in the back office over here. How's that? So
what about a person who's on Medicare or Medicaid as opposed to Medicare? Is there any reimbursement for their out-of-pocket, or does Medicare pay you anything or Medicaid pay you anything for the service?
Well, we personally do not take insurance. We're a cash-only company. We work with people that want to come out of pocket. Now, they can use this towards their deductible if they choose. So the whole service, the plan, the doctor's visit, they can take that receipt and send it off to their insurance company and get credit on their deductible. Each state is different there, Dan. So some states may actually offer telemedicine in their program through Medicaid or, for that matter, Medicare. And I know that now the VA is really looking at trying to help a lot of the veterans that are out there that need access to care, that live maybe in rural communities and other areas that they can't get a quick turnaround on help.
Yeah, we had a gentleman on our program several months ago who is doing some similar things to you, but he specializes in working in rural areas only, where there probably isn't a doctor anywhere close or any specialty. And he was being able to provide over the internet healthcare for people, especially poor people, in some of the rural communities where there were no physical doctors. I've even heard about hearing tests and other things that can be done, eye tests that can be done over the internet to bring healthcare, because the number of doctors as an aggregate number of people is diminishing in our country. And so the wait times can be significant, even if you've got the money to get in to see a doctor. Sometimes it takes longer than what we think should be possible. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been doing this?
We've actually, we launched about, this program is about a year and a half old in regards to launching. But of course, you know, we took some time to, with the R&D, the research and development piece. So about three years now, we've been very active.
How many subscribers do you have?
We're in the thousands. We're not at liberty to say, but I can tell you right now with Teladoc and the partnership, they're about 23 million subscribers just through the Teladoc service, nationally. But many of those are employees of self-insured companies, Dan, or major insurance companies, plans that Teladoc has incorporated their service as a benefit to that employee's plan. So we are really one of the first probably that are going after the direct consumer market as well as the small to mid-sized business market. And that's where our focus is, because we understand, if you think about the law says if you have 50 employees or less, you do not have to provide health insurance for your employees. Now, if you work under 30 hours a week, that employer doesn't have to insure you either. So many of the larger employers, retailers, some of them, won't mention names, and food chains, have taken a lot of their full-timers and made them part-time. So now here's a family, which, this is where we want this to be a movement, because it's really, if you think about it, When you go and you get a job, but yet they cut your hours back because they don't want to pay your benefits, and then you have to get a second job and you still don't have insurance. Now you're working two part-time jobs as a parent or family, a father or mother, and you still don't have any kind of health care access. And you don't qualify, by the way, for any state insurance plans at that point. So now you're out of pocket. So where's the problem lie? You can see what's out there now, Dan, and we have an opportunity now for at least employers that are wanting to give some sort of something. Maybe they can't afford a full insurance plan for all of their employees. Let's say they have 20 employees, but they can certainly do something like, give them Hello Alvin, so that from anywhere they can talk to a doctor at any time at an affordable price. that says a lot to an employee. And many of these types of employers have retention problems. You know, I mean, if you think about it, this could attract and retain, and it would probably reward a part-time, a talented person and or full-timer with a meaningful, you know, benefit. And it's affordable. So if you think of the psychic morale and booster that does for even a part-time employee to be able to go home and with some dignity, which, you know, many times, you know, as a father, I have children, and, you know, that's very prideful thing for me to be able to come back home and say, hey, listen, I'm taking care of my family, which is, I know, what we wanted to kind of talk about today. And even the owners of these small businesses, you know, many do not have the luxury of being able to take care of themselves properly with an insurance plan. Hmm. Now, we're not insurance. You know, Hello Alvin is not insurance. But the beautiful thing about it is you can still talk to a doctor within 10 minutes from anywhere on any device. And you talked about wait time. It's about average wait time in an ER, about 60 minutes. Urgent care is about 40, and ours is about 10 minutes from home on your couch watching a movie. So, and if you're on the monthly plan, it's $15 consult fee. So, anyway.
So I wanted to ask you one more question, and I'll turn it over to Don. You deal with the doctors are just general practitioners, or can they meet with specialists?
That's a great question, actually, Dan. We are moving forward now. First of all, they can ask to see a pediatrician. That's already in place, and a general practitioner is in place. Now we're moving into behavioral and mental health and medicine. We are also moving into we're going to get into dermatology. So we everything is teed up, and we should be launching our dermatology pieces midsummer. So we're pretty excited about that as well.
What about OBGYNs?
Well, no, we do not have that service yet, but I do know that there are OBGYN doctors out there looking into and currently providing telemedicine for their patients.
Okay. Don, back to you.
Well, Dan, you know, you've asked a lot of questions. I guess my first question to you is, Who is buying your service, and how are you marketing it?
Now, that's a really good question. Don, is that an Irish last name, first of all? Because Trucelli and I just want to make sure I'm talking to a good Irishman there. Is it Mazzella?
Hey, anybody that calls you Joey, only your mother called you Joseph, right? When she was angry at
right.
you.
No, that's
Joseph?
Exactly right, but... Joseph or Giuseppe, but the answer to your question, which is done, that's a really good question. We have a very unique way, a distribution model, and this is, you guys are going to really love this because we're very excited about it. We are working with a lot of the gift card companies as an example. We are currently launched in all the Pilot Flying J's and the Loves, you know, the truck stops in the country where a professional driver, over-the-road driver, who's whether they're independent drivers or they work for another company, can actually go into now a travel center and purchase our product just like they would a gift card. And that's, you know, we're really excited about that relationship. You know, I don't know if you know or not, but there's 3 million truck drivers that can say they have insurance, but there's, you know, a total of 7 million out there, many of which are independent and don't have a primary care physician or any kind of coverage at all. So we're going after the movement there for us is to help these professional drivers, which in many cases, they don't get a lot of credit, you know, for what they do for us here in this country. If you think about it, we wouldn't have food, we wouldn't have clothing, we wouldn't have anything without these guys. And unfortunately, it's one of the unhealthiest jobs in America today is driving a truck. You know, the lifespan and, you know, with all due respect to these men and women out there driving all these products throughout the country is 65 years old. because they have hypertension, diabetes, and they're not able to, they don't take care of themselves like they should, you know, in that environment. They're really hard workers, you know. So we are pushing alongside of our retail partners and distribution partners to help those professional drivers get access to doctors and nurses whenever they need it throughout the country. That's one. And, of course, digitally, online, you can go to helloalvin.com and purchase either the $100 a year plan or the $20 a month plan. And that's available. So we do a lot of, you know, social media around that. And we have a great blog that people can go to on our site, helloalvin.com, that gives health tips and talks about small business healthcare options, including telehealth as an option, all the way to, you know, the opioid, understanding opioid addictions and whatnot. So we're really, you know, we really want to help people. That's the philosophy. And when you start working with families and kids that, you know, kids that have cancer and, you know, you're doing these camps as an example, which we were doing for 7 years, and you see the difference you can make in their lives with the smallest of a product like this, like a Hello Alvin product, it's a game changer. And so we're working also with some of the mobile companies. I'm not at liberty to say which one as of yet, but we do have cell phone carriers and mobile companies that are looking at the bolt-on services, and you'll probably see us there as well. So we've got a lot of movement and a lot of fun marketing. You can buy this service for someone as a gift, which is really kind of a unique way of, you know, letting somebody know that you care about them. And, you know, giving them a gift card is kind of fun, but how about something that actually does make a difference in their family's lives? So it's an affordable way that you can pass kind of that forward to someone in need, like a single mom or someone that just can't afford going to the doctor. Excuse me. Another way, of course, is
Joey, your website again for people?
Yes, it's helloalvin.com. Hmm.
Well, Dan, you get to ask the last question. It's been fascinating, and I want to offer Joey the opportunity to, if he has a leaderboard ad, to put it up on our website, because I think it's something that our audience would definitely be involved with, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that, and I could be wrong on the numbers, it's like 65,000 over-the-road truck drivers. Is that a reasonable number, or is it even bigger than that?
Oh, it's more like 7 million. 7 million?
7 million over-the-road drivers? Okay.
I know there are millions. And
okay.
That's such a clever idea, Joey. I think that alone is going to make your day.
Yeah.
Oh,
These are all independent. Most of them are independent truckers. They have their own rigs, and they're working on their own. So they're not working. They're not on somebody's payroll. They're getting benefits. If they're going to do it, they have to do it themselves.
Right. Right. Now we don't know what that total number, of course, isn't 7 million independents. Many of those, of course, work for other companies. But there are, you know, there's a few million independents out there, and they're struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, they need, you know, people's support, and I feel like it's one of the forgotten industries in this world, in this country, and you know, they need encouragement too. Yeah, I was a Marine, and still am. Once you're a Marine, of course, you're always a Marine, right? But we,
right.
You know, it was really good that. You know, when somebody saw you in uniform, they would say, thank you for your service. Many would do that. But when you see a professional driver somewhere, most people don't even acknowledge them, you know, and it's sad because without those folks, you wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't have your car. You wouldn't have your windows in your house. You wouldn't have clothes or food. So, you know, I think it's important for us to do what we can to make sure that they're healthy, because that's a breeder, you know.
Thank you for your mission and what you're doing, and we'll do what we can to help you. Thanks for being on the show today.
No, I really appreciate you guys. Really nice to meet you.
Joey, your website again for people?
Yes, thank you. It's helloalvin.com.
Spell it out for you. This is radio.
You betcha. I'm going to spell that out. It's HelloAlvin. HelloAlvin.com.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an experience.
Recalculating.
Tell me, Dan. Tell me about your latest book.
My current book that's coming out, I should say, is Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? And it's really the first book written for children between the ages of 9 and 12 and their families dealing with dementia. Dementia is a growing problem with the elderly in the United States and around the world. And we are not very well informed about what's going on, what's happening. So I wrote this book in the form of a mystery. And I have two little girls, 9 and 12, who have a magical power to be able to seem to be able to find things that are lost. And so they go to their dads and moms and they say, you know, we work all over the neighborhood helping people find things, and we seem to find things. And their dad says, yes, you have a magical talent to do that. And they said, we'd like to start a business to see if we can help other people. So they decided to start a business. The two girls' name are Hudson and Charlotte. And they start H&C's Lost and Found. If you've lost it, we find it. And so they build a business, and they convince the dads to build them an office and a treehouse in the backyard. And they get busy making posters and flyers trying to get customers. And their dads take them downtown, and they put them in the windows and on the telephone poles and light poles. And they go home, and first week goes by, and nobody comes. And the second week and third week, and nobody comes. They're really, really dejected. And the fourth week comes, and there's a knock at the door. And they walk over and open the door, and there's a young man standing there with one of their flyers in his hands. And he says to them, my dad says the reason why my Grammy can't remember me is because she's lost her memory. And your flyer says you find things that are lost. Can you find my Grammy's memory? Well, they don't know anything about memory. So they take his name and they go see their dads to see what can happen. And the story evolves into how they learn about what dementia is and what's going on in the body when somebody has dementia. And then they decide, while they can't find their customer's memory, they can help him build the tools to retain her in his memory. And so at the end of the book, there are about 10 to 12, 13 things that families can do together to work on to preserve the memory of grandma and grandpa so the generations can know who these people were. And that's the story.
What a great book. When will it be available, and how can people get it?
Well, it'll be available on Amazon.com. A lot of people who have read it, who've had moms and dads that have been stricken with Alzheimer's and dementia, tell me that they really now begin to understand what's happening in grandma's brain. And we took a different approach. Rather than do the typical brain cross-section, I work with the artist, and we design highways in the brain. And there's a brain of one of the little girls and the brain of Grammy. They both have highways, roads, but where the girl's brain, everything is green and go. Grammy's brain is full of no left turns, do not enter, stop, no right turns. So all of the messages that need to come from our brain get screwed up, and we can't function. Great illustrations, though. Wonderful illustrations.
Well, say goodbye, Dan.
All right.
Time for us to go.
Thank you for joining us. And by the way, if you didn't hear all of today's show, you can go to recalculating.biz, and you can pick up this show and past shows to expand your knowledge as becoming more successful entrepreneurs. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, we enjoyed the show today, and we encourage you to go to the website, as I said before, recalculating.biz, listen to last shows, and we're also going to start giving you some heads up about who's coming in the future. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.